All right, and we're loud and clear. Well, I want to thank the church, first of all, for your support over time, sending Russ Crittenden to Israel. I went to the same place that he went to start my journey. And it was a long time coming for me because I knew Israel was my heart of hearts from about 1978 or so. And so this was a pinnacle for me in the call of God on my life. So I'm very grateful that the door was opened through what Russ did. And I have a PowerPoint, and time is short. So if I gallop through this, pull my chain, and Pastor, if I'm not fast enough, give me a bump. Okay, who's got the PowerPoint up there? Is it Eric the Magnificent? Oh, there we go. Okay. This is just on the lighter side. This was a little Miss Kitty thing. So I could send my friends something from Israel that didn't scare them. All right, the next slide. We're looking at in the green are the Arabic nations surrounding Israel. Can anybody see that little red dot in the middle? That's Israel. So I went as a prayer warrior. God had sent me to pray for the borders of Israel. And so that's a big job. But fortunately, I didn't have to pray about all of those. But I just wanted you to see that and to realize that Israel is 1/8 the size of Florida. So when you hear all the news, just keep in mind that it would fit 8 times into the state of Florida. Over the next slide, please. Yes, they're all Muslim countries. I thought I did say that. And they hate Israel. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so this is the midsection of Israel. And at the top, you see that body of water. That's the Sea of Galilee. And at the bottom, that's the Dead Sea. Jerusalem is near the Dead Sea, which is at the bottom. And the place that I went to is at the southern tip of the Galilee, up in the north. And so that just gives you a little perspective. By bus, it's 3 hours to get from where I was near the Galilee down to Jerusalem. Okay, the next slide is, wow, that's where I showed up. That's where Russ lived. Actually, Russ renovated that building, remodeled it, put all the, they just did everything. They had to gut it and start over with it. But it's called the Aliyah Return Center. And there are flags there. They're planting them from different nations that are supporting what God's doing there. They have remodeled 2 other buildings. One is used for transitioning soldiers in the Israeli Defense Force in and out or into service, the pre-army buildings. I don't know if you know this, but every single individual who graduates high school in Israel, male or female, goes directly into service and stays for 2 years. Because when you're a little tiny country, you got to have defense. So so the other building is being used for lone soldiers, which are people who sometimes come from this country. And they go with nobody. They just show up and they have no family or anybody. So they're brought into a special program to help support them. Okay, and the next slide is, that's Dean Bai, who's blessing our Shabbat challah bread. Every Friday evening we had a Shabbat meal. But I wanted to tell you a little about Dean. He's the leader of Return Ministries, which oversees the work of the Aliyah Return Center there in the north. Okay, so the fun's over. Wait, no, one more slide of fun. That's the view from my room. Wow. We're looking across the Jordan River into the hills that separate Israel from the country of Jordan. And So that was a wonderful view for me to have out the window. If I stepped outside my door, I was in the dining room where I'm in a co-ed housing. So this is not posh. It's not two-star even, probably, but it was clean, and we got a lot of work done. And the next slide will show you the women's work. This is Abby, and she liked all that linen to be folded exactly that way, so I failed linen folding. And the next slide is, this is Kate, who is from Alaska, and she's making us something like bologna and salami sandwiches. That was for lunch. I could make sandwiches, otherwise I failed cooking. The next slide is men's work. Now you would think these guys are digging a ditch to lay pipe into. And do you see what they're digging it with? Shovels. This is the kind of work that they're doing there. They're doing something with nothing. And they're doing it. We are doing it. So you can see what the women did. The next slide, please. Except for Lisa. Lisa's shoveling dirt right along with the men, and a lot of the women also did work on the grounds with landscaping and so on. I had said before I went, I'm coming to pray. God's sending me to intercede. And that was difficult in that environment because most people were doing hard labor all day, every day, and it was very difficult. And the next slide will show you the place that we prayed. That's a bomb shelter. They're all over the place because the place that we're remodeling is an old boarding school from a kibbutz that was built in 1927. It was abandoned, but there are lots of bomb shelters there. So the next slide shows you it's not too bad down inside there. And we have that set up so that we can do some intercession. I had a chance every afternoon at 4:30 to pray with a friend, and so we would go in every afternoon and do our prayers. There were outings that we did, despite that the work was hard. And the next slide is Mount of Beatitudes, beautiful place. And then the next slide is Sea of Galilee, also a beautiful place to visit. And then we went into the West Bank, which you aren't supposed to do, but we had good guides, and we went to the site on the Jordan where possibly Jesus was baptized, and I said, I'm doing that. So just before I put my gown on and got into the water, what do you think went overhead? Next slide. Right overhead. And this is the way God worked in Israel. This is the kind of thing he did all the time. Just when you thought one thing, God would just like that, he would do something amazing, absolutely amazing. White dove, what? So I felt pretty blessed by that. We had holiday after holiday after holiday, and I planned my trip so I could start with Pesach, which is Passover, which we celebrate for one day in Israel. They celebrate Passover for a week. That's the way it is scripturally set out to do. You can see that table is built low down on the ground, and that's why when they say John was reclining on Jesus' bosom, it was that kind of setup. They really did have pillows, and they reclined around them. And that was really a riotous, amazing event. So Passover went on for 7 days. The grocery stores are closed, which means whatever you're going to eat, you better have already bought it. And you aren't allowed to buy bread, and you aren't supposed to have any in the house when it starts. So 7 days later, here's what we had to eat. That, you can't see it very clearly, but that is a matzah omelet. A matzah omelet. And the guy, I have to come back a little bit to being a warrior for the borders, because the guy who's holding the omelet is an Israeli. His name is Yishai, and he is the director of a ministry just outside of Gaza in the south of Israel. And because the Hamas was inciting the Gazans to riot, there were 15,000 of them charging at the security fence that separates them from Israel. Yishai himself fled from there and came up to Beit Zera to stay there for a little while. So we had Yishai for omelet and for matzah omelet. And I, about this time, I needed a break, and the next slide will show you one of my good friends that I made while I was at Beit Zera was Mati, who came in just briefly. So I was about to go to Jerusalem for a couple of days, which was, it was not frowned on, I want you to know. And so, but anyway, I was saying bye to people just to go on that trip. And then the next slide shows that I got the rain that I just prayed for. It's just like that. You don't say amen. You pray for something, you don't say amen. It's raining. So this is in Jerusalem. And I needed a place to stay, so I was in the rain, dragging my suitcase through Jerusalem. I didn't know where I was going to stay. I was tired, and I was trying to find the YMCA, and I looked up, and I saw a blue framework of a building, and if you'll change the slide now, I saw this sign, and I thought, I know Victor Kalischer. He's the director of this place. And I stepped inside the door, and it was like, this is where I've been going. This is the place. It was like instantly I knew that that was exactly where I was supposed to be. And so Victor called a friend of his, and he his friend let me stay in his apartment because he was not there at the time. And this was a multi-million dollar apartment. Only God. I mean, this is just favor of God. You get a white dove, and now you get a multi-million dollar apartment. And and go to the next slide. And I was right across the street from Jaffa Gate, which is the main entry gate into the old city of Jerusalem. I could look out the lanai of my posh apartment and watch the tour buses coming up to let people go out to Jaffa Gate. So such favor of God was absolutely amazing. And the power of God was so strong for intercession. It was so completely powerful that I knew I had to asked to be released from Beit Zera, because I was planning to stay there for 2 months. And I went back, and they all agreed. And so the next slide is, they blessed me and prayed for me and sent me on my way. And by this time, I was able to get a hotel room for a couple of nights anyway in in Jerusalem. It was very difficult because of all the holidays. They just had not much of anywhere to stay. So I stayed a couple nights at Christ Church. And in the meantime, if you'll show the next slide, this is a view from a prayer house that I visited called Sukkot Hallel, which means house of praise. And so I went back to my little hotel. And I wrote them, I emailed and said, would you have any a place that I could stay? Because they do have some rooms. And they said, no, and you would need a reference from your pastor, and we don't have any beds. And I said, well, a reference wouldn't be any problem, because I just got blessed. I was at Beit Zera or Aliyah Return Center, and I got a blessing from Chaim Melspin, and I got a note right back saying, Chaim Melspin is a good friend. And we hate to ask you this, but would you take care of housekeeping for our daughter and her husband? This is from the founder. Would you take care of housekeeping for them? Because she has breast cancer, and they are really unable to keep up with what's going on. They have a 4-month-old Down syndrome baby. I Does God know? I was ecstatic. This was my another assignment God had given me in a prayer house. Amazing. So I want to show you a little bit more about what this prayer house was like, and the best way to do that is to show you. My friend Mati also was in Jerusalem by this time, and I have a video here, hopefully the right one will come up, that shows Mati. He's a dancer, one of the reasons we were instant friends. But can you show that video? This is out the window of the prayer house. The prayer house, there might be one person there all night. It goes to 24-hour prayer house. There might be prayer by one person at night, and someone else shows up. They have you scheduled in. Sometimes there are scheduled watches, and you're just exactly like Pastor has set up here. You can journal, you can read your Bible, you can worship, you can praise God, exactly the same. So, but never such a view could I have imagined, and such a beautiful responsibility that the Lord gave me from that. And the next slide shows one of the most powerful things I saw while I was there, because I've told you that often there was one person. When they had a special watch, there would be a room full. But I didn't see 90 people until they had these people from Germany, which is really powerful for the Jewish people that these people from Germany came. And so restoration of the Jews involves that kind of forgiveness and support from around the world. And you have no idea how many thousands and thousands of people are praying and coming and showing up and getting it and understanding. In fact, I know that America is providing a lot of support, but it would amaze you what Korea is doing, China. These nations are really, really rising up to that. So the next, if you show the next one, that's Rick Ridings. Rick receives prophecies from the Lord that are global in nature, and they have to do with exactly what time we're in and the timeline of the coming of the Lord. And one of the things I didn't know was that in January of this year, he had a prophecy that nations were building siege ramps against Jerusalem, and that it was prayers of the intercessors that were going to supply the fuel to heaven for those to be torn down. So, I'm speechless. I mean, I really was speechless that the Lord had sent me there to participate in that. And I know I was one of, again, thousands and thousands of people. But if you'll show the next slide, I was doing intercession because Iran and Syria was making trouble at the border with Syria, which is in the north. And a friend looked over and found a palm frond and put it in my hand. And I wielded that thing like it was a sword. And I'm gonna show this video with a little scared too, but I'm gonna show this video. This is a video of warfare. It's a video of warfare.
By Jesus and his blood, by that power, I tread on your head, devil. You have no authority over the boundaries of this land.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, you don't even deserve what you've got. Get back to the borders in the name of Jesus, and may the Jesus smash you with the fist of his word. Hallelujah. Level what needs to be leveled, Lord. Level it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus!
Hallelujah.
So, and you could hear people shouting amen from down on the street. Amen. I didn't know he was videotaping that. But a couple of the things I said, one of them was level it. I said, you do not deserve what you have on these borders. And I prayed that Iran would be leveled. Within 48 hours, Trump had gone in and bombed Iran and Syria. And within, I think it was a couple of weeks, the Israeli Air Force went in and leveled it. So I'm not saying I did that. I'm saying God did it. But God used this mouth to participate in that prayer. And so just know your prayers are awesome. They're powerful. They're important. Whatever God's called you to do, even if you don't get all of it, just do it. So in the next slide, I want to show you, well, before that. Back one. Back up one more. Thank you. This is important for you to understand about where I was standing when I prayed that. This was the view I had in front of me. That's the Mount of Olives. Before you get to the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane. So the place where Jesus prayed is directly in front of me, where he prayed, if it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Up the mountain is where he ascended and where he's coming back and his feet are going to be planted. It's not time yet for those nations to come against Israel. And that's what we're praying, that the borders be secured until the right time comes that they're going to come against the nations. And if you'll show the next slide, this is what was directly behind me when I was praying. This is the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate, and that's been shut, I think it was shut by Suleiman a long time ago. And this is the gate that Jesus is going to come through when he sets himself up to rule and reign from Zion and come after his enemies. So that setup is so powerful and so important to me that you see that you could walk from one to the other. You can't walk from Mount Olives in a short time, but it really is not, it's not that far. It's a lineup. So anyway, that was really the heavy duty part of that was the high point, I guess you could say, of my trip is that prayer. And the next slide shows that I stopped to smell the roses. Some pretty places. The next one is walking down to the Dead Sea in my Arab outfit. And do you see how steep that is? That is, and it's sheer rock. I mean, I'm not walking on pavement or even gravel. I'm walking around big, big rocks. So when you ask the angels to keep charge over you so that you don't dash your foot, that is really hard stuff. And that day, I ended up in heat exhaustion, lying under the biggest little tiny tree I could find there. People asked me, weren't you scared when you were there? And I said, yeah, the time I was didn't bring enough water and I was lying under that tree. Okay, so the next slide is another holiday, or big, wasn't really a holiday, but this was the March of Nations for Israel. From all countries come, they do it every year. They bring their flags from everywhere. I think there were 2,000 people. They close off the streets of Jerusalem, and we march with those flags to say, I love Israel, I love the Jews, no more Holocaust, we're not forgetting, we support Israel. And so that was a big day, and then there was another holiday. The next slide is, you may as well play the video. Go ahead and play the video. This is Jerusalem Day. Thousands of Israelis come out and march through the cities. The young people, it's amazing how the young people come out for that. Trump, you see that? Did you see that van in the back? I'll show you a little more of that later. I thought, surely Trump is in that bus. He must be in there watching this. The next slide is just a little glimpse of, this is a bar mitzvah that was taking place, which they do all the time, down at the Western Wall. The next slide is in a Messianic synagogue. This was the Simchas Torah, which is another holiday, but this is inside of a Messianic synagogue. The Messianics are Jews who've come to believe in Jesus, and they're just steamrolling in numbers. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of times. We are in the end times, and so we're fortunate to have peaceful times to get ready for what's coming. So, in this hour, so many, many, many prophecies are being fulfilled in Israel, and the rise of the Messianics and the Messianic Church is here in the U.S. and there. The prayer house that I was at is the second one that was built, that was founded in Jerusalem. And the next slide shows you the first one. This is up on Mount of Olives, and is found by Tom Hess. Some of you will recognize his name. That's also a 24/7 prayer house. There are lots of prayer houses in Israel, and one of the latest prophecies by Rick Ridings of Sukkot Hallel, I showed you his picture earlier, was that these prayer houses, even though there are lots of them in the U.S., IHOP Kansas City, his prophecy was that they're going to be springing up, more and more of them. And I'll tell you what, when I got back to Grace Tabernacle after my 3 months over there, and I walked in and it said, prayer? Somebody actually told me in advance. But it was as if you had heard, or whoever decided that, and you, of course, had as if you knew that this had been prophesied. But, of course, God speaks into many ears at the same time. So I'm so happy to see that. The next slide is my favorite place in Israel. It's the Garden of Gethsemane. Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, just walk in there, and to me, it's like you just feel the passion of, I feel the passion of Jesus. I feel him sweating blood. I feel him making a decision, because he didn't have to do it. He, in that garden, made a decision that he would say, "Thy will be done," and not mine. It hits me every time I go there. So again, this view is looking from the garden up toward the gate he's going through. So for the joy set before him, he endured the shame. Sorry, I'm gonna cry. Okay, and let me go to this. That's me crying in the Garden of Gethsemane on the left. Yeah, it's on your left, too. And do you know what the next slide is? Those are olive trees. They were old in the garden. They were old enough to have been there at the time Jesus was actually there saying that prayer. See that on the right side? Can you tell what that is? Anybody know? It's a close-up. It's a close-up of olives on a tree. That is what greeted me when I got out of my... when I got in my front yard. I planted that tree 5 years ago, and it's giving me fruit. You can't make that up. Oh, my goodness, favor of God. So I've left out one very important, I say for last one, very important thing that happened in Israel. Is anybody thinking about something that happened while I was there? Can you guess? What happened? Embassy, Roll them. Next slide. They started putting these posters up. Friends of Zion is a museum that recognizes people who have really been good friends of Israel. And they had banners posted everywhere. Trump is a friend of Zion. And I don't know, you don't have to have the same politics that I do, but Israel appreciates what Trump has done. Amen. And I went to the embassy probably 3 times before they moved. I couldn't stay away. I was so excited. So anyway, finally they put the sign up, which is in the next slide. They put the sign up that said, U.S. Embassy, yay. And then the next slide, this is outside the embassy and the tourists all coming up and taking their pictures. And it's very plain. This is a temporary embassy, but it's very, very plain. And then the next slide is, it's me and, gosh, you can't read that at all. Wow, I'm sorry you can't read that at all, but it says U.S. Embassy, Donald J. Trump, President Michael Pence, Vice President, May 14, 2018. It was the most awesome minute for me. And a couple more of, I'm so excited, next. This is a kippah on my head. A little kippah said wear on their head. Israel loves Trump or something like that. It's said on there. And I got one more shot of Israel, of what I saw out the window from the prayer house, which I still am utterly, utterly amazed. God let me be there. He ordained me to be there. Amazing, utterly, totally amazing that God let me be there. The Mount, and from that slide, the Mount of Olives is on the right side. And so you can see both the Dome of the Rock or the mosque there where the, call it the Dome of the Rock. You can see the Dome of the Rock as well as the Mount of Olives where Jesus is coming through. To pray in that room was just totally God. Can you go to the next slide? I'm not sure you're going to be able to read that from where you are. I might have to come up here and read it. I told people, don't ask me to come anywhere that I don't have a single room, a private room, all by myself. And I ended up bunking with 7 other women because God is in it. You just do what where he's put you. One of my roommates received this prophecy while I was there, and that sheet of paper with the blue on it, she said that looked to her like a window, and it's a ladder-like thing that has flames of fire. We often hear of people seeing a vision of intercession or of prayers being carried up by angels to God. And those flames are each resting on a little open Bible. So I'm going to read it if you can't read it. Because she brought, you know, she didn't just get that for anybody. She brought it to me. So I'm bringing it to you. It means a lot to me. It's a very challenging. A window of opportunity is open at this time for a drafting of new recruits into the army of the Lord of hosts. A window of opportunity is open for those who have served for some time to be promoted into positions of stewardship. A window of opportunity is open for a fresh understanding of the word, the armory of the Lord of hosts. A window of opportunity is open for the laying down of useless pursuits and for the taking up of the sword of the word. A window of opportunity is open for advanced training in wielding the sword of the Spirit. A window of opportunity is open for a fresh and tailor-made suit of armor. A window of opportunity is open for you to consider the role I have called you to play in this new era. A window of opportunity is open for deeper intimacy with me, your husband, your Lord of hosts, as we prepare for the final battle. So I just want to encourage each of you. It took me a long time to really gather up my obedience to do what the Lord had called me to do. It's difficult for me not to regret the time that I could have been doing what the Lord had called me to. I felt by entering into that environment that I went into, I was challenged in every way because we have it very easy here. We don't even realize how easy it is. I would just say whatever your calling is, whatever your gifts are, do your best to take them seriously, because before you know it, this is all going to be over. And that was one of the things that came very, very clear to me, is this is serious time. It is serious time. The Lord Jesus is coming soon. Everything that's written in the scriptures and the prophecies are coming. They're just all clicking in place. 1948, the nation was born. The Jews are starting to return. The Christians are there loving them into jealousy. The nations are coming against Israel. And it's really time is short. So make the best use of what God's given you. And that's it, Pastor.
You also got to meet several people. You were in a prayer room, I think it was, and then you said Kenneth Copeland walked in, and yeah.
Give me another 20 minutes.
Yeah. Just tell them the people that you met. Just a divine.
Kenneth Copeland, one of President Trump's spiritual advisors, Tom and Kate Hess, who are authors of books way, way back on Israel. Billy Graham's daughter, I just bumped into her at the embassy. Marty Goetz did a concert next door at TBN. Let's see. Who else? Chuck Pierce is a very famous man who operates in prophecy. Didn't know you were going to call on me for rich and famous. Oh, here's another one. So I'm at a prayer house, and I got finished with praying in one room, and I walked into another room, and there were maybe seven people in there, so they're just all praying individually. Nobody's leading it. And a guy walks in, and he picks up a guitar, and he sits on the stool, and he just starts picking and playing a little bit, and I heard somebody say, "That's Michael W. Smith." No announcement, no hullabaloo, nothing. He just walked in with eight people in the room.
Well, just God gets you in the right place at the right time. You know, that's exciting, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. We heard the journey tonight of what God will do with someone who will say yes. If you'll just say yes, you'll begin a journey of adventure. Every day will be part of your adventure. God will connect you with the right people, the right place, at the right time, if you'll just say yes. So just right now, if you're willing to risk, if you're willing to say, "God, take me places I could never get to on my own. Connect me with people that I would never meet if I just keep going my own way. Lord, just take over and put me where you want me at the right time, the right place. I'll say yes, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Just say it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Even if I don't understand. That way there's no such thing as an interruption. There's no such thing as a delay. You'll be right where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, because God has appointments. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for Kitty. Thank you for her sharing her adventure with us tonight. And Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. What you've done for her, you'll do for us. And we thank you for it. So we look forward with anticipation. What's next, God? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank Kitty for sharing. Come up and say hello to her. Be sure to love on these men tonight while they're here. And God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday.